That, isn't it? Now it's green. We'll see if it works. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Thanksgiving coming up around the corner. I know normally there is many times Thanksgiving messages that are given on Sunday mornings around churches, and that's a little bit, but something that I wonder how many of us, I know we're all thankful for it, but I wonder how many of us have really given a lot of thanks for it. And the title of this morning's message is Thankful He Is Coming Again. Amen. Thankful He Is Coming Again. Yes. So you think about it, in the world and day and time that we live in, there's a lot of craziness happening. And if all we had was this world and the things that are going on in this world, that'd be depressing. But thankfully, we have a Savior who has told us He is going to come again. Now, the Scripture says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So no matter what we're going through, the Scriptures is telling us, hey, we should be thankful. But think about some of the different things we should be thankful for. In our Sunday school class this morning, we went through a lot of different things, and we talked, and each student gave some things they were thankful for. You know, they talked about their family, talked about their church family, they talked about their salvation, talked about the country they lived in, lots of different wonderful things that, yes, we should be grateful and thankful for. But this morning, one thing I kind of like to tie in together with a little bit of a series we have going on about having a biblical worldview during these last times is get to this moment and understand, hey, I'm thankful that this is not the end for me. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth," or on the earth. Now, you think about what the Scriptures is saying there. It's saying, hey, look, we are pilgrims and we're strangers. So one thing that we get to the understanding is we're not living for here and now. We can be thankful for something. That thankfulness is, hey, this is not the end for us. I don't know about you, but the things that are happening in our country, the things that are happening around the world, some of the craziness of the things that are happening, we get confused, we get upset, we get disappointed. And if our eyes are focused on temporal things, the things of this world, then we're going to miss the whole point of what we're doing here. A biblical worldview during these last times means that we're going to understand what's happening in this world is not something that would discourage us or weaken our faith, but instead it would build our faith because we see many of these things coming true, the prophecies that have been mentioned in the Bible. You think about before Christ was going to return or during the time of Christ's return, it talks about wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24. It talks about Israel's return to the land. It talks about false prophets also in Matthew 24, an increase in transportation and technology in Daniel 12, a rise in the occult in 1 Timothy chapter 4, diseases and earthquakes in Luke 21. And if you look at past years, just even recent years, it is as if the Bible is unfolding right before us. And there's two different groups of people out there. There's a group of people that are looking at that and saying, what in the world's going on? What are we going to do? And a believer shouldn't be that way. We should be a group of believers that are living by faith, that are encouraged by the things that are happening. And once again, we don't like it when people are deceitful. We don't like it when people are dishonest. We don't like to see our country go down the drain in many ways because of sin and the things that are happening in this world. And we should not just lie silently and allow all these things to happen. We should live by faith. And as we live by faith, we should encourage one another. But we're not living for today. We're living for Him, and we're living for the future. So I want to encourage you today as we're thinking about this, I'm thankful that He's coming back. I'm thankful that I'm looking forward to the day He's coming back. And as we consider the Scriptures, these are things that should build our faith. And I know we've looked at a few things already. We looked at the living in these uncertain times. And we looked at the white throne judgment. We've looked at the judgment seat of Christ. And in this series, we're going to look at how to have a biblical worldview where we're living at today. So how are we supposed to live knowing that He could come back soon? How are we supposed to live knowing He could come back soon? What is the biblical worldview for that? So if we really believe, according to what the Bible says, and according to the different things that are in place, He tells us looking for that blessed hope. If we are really going to say that we believe that Christ could come back at any moment or any time, How are we supposed to respond? How are we supposed to live? And the question is, are we living that way? So three things I want you to think about this morning. And in this passage of Scripture is phenomenal passage of Scripture when it talks about Christ and his returning and talks about all the different things that we can understand and explain. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Okay, and we're going to start off in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, I'm going to start in verse number 13. And this is a very familiar passage when it's talking about Christ's return. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean by Christ's return? Well, the second coming of Christ comes in two different parts. The first part is when Christ does not touch this earth and he raptures his church home. And then later on, Christ will return and actually return to this earth with the church and with the saints. And here, this is referring to the day and time when Christ is going to call his church home, which many people have come to know this as the rapture. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful once again for so many things. But as the Lord has been blessing upon my speaking to my heart about, I'm just really thankful that he's going to come back. He's not going to leave us this way. He's promised us. He's given us his promise. In John chapter 14, when they were really overwhelmed and when they were really distressed, what does he say? He says, let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then later on in that passage, in verse number 3, he says that I will come again. And then he talks about that where I am, there you will be also. These are promises that God has given that we should be thankful for. So I wonder how many of us this past week or in this past month has said, you know, I'm thankful for so many things. I think we could say, you know what? I'm thankful he's going to return. And how am I going to live this way? Let's look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, wonderful passage of Scripture, starting off in verse number 13. The Scripture says, but I would not have you be ignorant. Now, that word ignorant there is referring to, hey, not to have this knowledge. He wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to have an understanding of what's going on. He doesn't want us to be fretting. He doesn't want us to be worrying. He doesn't keep us in dark. Yes, the things are happening in this world is according to what the Scriptures are saying. And yes, he's going to return. But this church in the Thessalonica was, they were new believers. They were listening to people say false things. They were listening to people say wrong things. And people were getting discouraged, thinking that maybe the rapture's already happened, or maybe those that have died already are going to be like second-class citizens in heaven. And this was a few thousand years ago, and they were confused by it. And I think it's important to understand this Scripture. He says, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to have knowledge concerning this. He says, brother, concerning them which are asleep. When they use the word asleep here, they're referring to a person who has passed away. And he says, that ye would sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He says, concerning this thing of the rapture, concerning this time of calling the church home or calling the believers home, he says, you don't have to sorrow about this. He says, you're not like those that have no hope. Your hope is found in Jesus Christ. Your hope is found in the promises that he's given, the promises that are in his word, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. That's what he was telling the disciples when he was saying, hey, look, let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he began talking about the mansions that he was preparing. He was going to prepare a place. And he begins to encourage him. He says, look, I will come again. And then he's saying that where I am, there ye shall be also. He's saying, look, this is a time that you should encourage one another, not be someone that doesn't have hope. And I think in the day and time, and there's churches and there's Christians today that are overwhelmed and they're discouraged in this because they're acting like they have no hope. They put everything in this presidential election, or they put everything inside the world, or inside what America's going to do, or what the government's going to do, or in a vaccine. But in all reality, we don't have to worry like that. We don't have to act like those that have no hope, because our hope is not found in this world. And it says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So there's a clarification here, that those that have no hope or those that do not believe that Jesus died and rose again. And comparing with Scripture, it's not just believing in Jesus. It's believing that he died, that he died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again victoriously. Do you have your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross? Because if you do not have that trust in what Jesus Christ did, if you have not turned to him, you know what that means? You're those that have no hope. Verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, talking about those that are going to be alive the day he calls his church home, if he would come back today, that would encompass us, which are alive, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. So this church in Thessalonica, they were concerned. They've been hearing false doctrine. They've been hearing false teaching, saying, hey, what's going to happen to those that die ahead of time? What's going to happen to those that are going to give their life before this? And that's what the answer here is. It says in verse number 15, for we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. So we come to this moment and say, what am I supposed to do in these times, in these days? How can I have a biblical worldview? You know, once again, we look through the many different lenses. We look through the lens of emotion and how things are happening. We look through political things, how things are happening. We look through a lens of how things are going to happen economically. You know, what's going to happen to this world when it comes to things that underneath the new administration, or what's going to happen to this world and those things. But we must never forget to look through the lens of biblical, Bible worldview, a biblical worldview. During this time, during these days, we should encourage one another with the thought, he's coming again. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know, as we come into this Thanksgiving season, there's a lot of things that we can be thankful for. And there's a lot of things that the people in this world are discouraged about, because many times people have become very spoiled about the things they have. But if you're a Christian and you're a believer, I want to encourage you this week to encourage somebody else with the thought, I'm thankful that Christ is returning. I'm thankful he's coming back. I'm thankful he's preparing a place for me. And when you get a chance to maybe share something with other people and people say, well, what are you thankful for this week? Hey, I'm thankful he's coming back. Now, I don't want everybody on Tuesday to come up here and say that just because I said it. But I'm talking about if you get a chance in the classroom, you get a chance at work and say, you know, the things of the world is uncertain, but I'm thankful for one thing. And that's for sure. Christ is going to return. He is not going to allow his church to stay here during this. All these crazy times. At some time, at his time, he is going to return. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we be people that have a biblical worldview. I pray that while the world is telling you, hey, you have to look through this lens, you have to look at it this way, you have to look, consider this, and you have to consider that, I'm thankful that your scripture is true, it is certain, it is settled, it's final, and something we can trust. And I pray as we're looking at these last times and these last days and all the craziness, that we don't allow this to allow us to become discouraged. We don't allow this to take away our faith. But instead, help us to see that you're working and that you're moving. And that, as we learned a few weeks ago in the book of Habakkuk, that you are working and that you always constantly working and that you are going to return again someday. And Lord, whether it's in our lifetime, and Lord, it seems like it's going to be in our lifetime, or whether it's hundreds of years down the road, we are to encourage one another with these words. Lord, you're going to come back. And I am so thankful for that. It may mean that I have to be a pilgrim in this world. It may mean that I have to be a foreigner, a stranger living in these days and times. But I can be looking for that blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's a couple things that I think that we should do or we should have in these days. So how am I supposed to have a biblical worldview about Christ's soon return? The first thing I think is important and is found here in verse number 13 is we should be knowledgeable. We should be knowledgeable. What do you mean? We should know what the Bible says. We should know what the scripture says. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. We have the word of God sitting in front of us. And I bet you this past week, this upcoming week, people are going to be saying, hey, I'm thankful for the Bible. And amen for that. But how many of us use the Bible? There's really no excuse for us not having an understanding that Christ will return again someday. Now, I know some different people might have a little bit different understandings when it comes to prophecy and when Christ will return and all that other stuff, but we should have a knowledge, a working knowledge of what the Bible teaches. You say, Pastor, the Bible is hard, the Bible is tough. Well, I don't think it's that difficult. I think more times it's not the difficulty there, but instead our desires are different. We have worldly desires, and we fill up on things of the flesh. We fill up on the TV. We fill up on social media. We fill up on so many other things that are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We've allowed our desires to be filled with the things of this world. But Paul is saying, hey, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I want to encourage you today that we should be knowledgeable. The rapture is mentioned a number of times. It's mentioned very frequently in the scriptures. Over and over, it is told that the scriptures speak of it. One man wrote it this way: more than a fourth of the Bible is predictive prophecy. Both the Old Testament and New Testament are full of promises about the return of Jesus Christ. Over 1,800 references appear in the Old Testament, and 17 Old Testament books give preeminence on this theme. On the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the Lord's return. One out of every 30 verses, 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great event. For every prophecy of the first coming of Christ, there are 8 different prophecies for the second coming of Christ. And we know that Christ came the first time, so we can see that the scriptures is making an emphasis, he's coming again. The rapture is not just a prophetic possibility. This is not just one passage of scripture that we hear about in it. It's mentioned over and over in the scriptures. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20 puts it this way, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that if you search your Bible, you're going to find out it says he's coming again. It's not just one preacher getting up here preaching on one passage of scripture. It is repetitive over and over and over in the scriptures. He is returning. He is returning. And we should have knowledge of that. That's something we should know about. It's a secure promise. That's when he was saying to them, he says, let not thy heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, he says, I will. Now, this is not just me, a human being, make a promise. This is God saying, I will come again. So how do we live today? We should have knowledge of it. It's not just something that we should know because the preacher says it. It should be a factual knowledge. Look at some of the things you find in this passage. The first things that you should know about the Lord's return is that the Lord will return. As he's closing off his earthly ministry, he's at the Mount of Olives, and he's telling them, he's saying goodbye to them, and the angels say to them, he says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Someday he will return. And you see here in the scriptures, he says in verse number 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with them. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And then he says, for the Lord himself shall descend. So I want you to understand some things we should have knowledge of is that he's not saying an angel, the Lord himself will come. The next thing is we will hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And you see what it says, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Sometimes I hear Brother Jim tuning up his trumpets every once in a while, and I think about it, and I'm thinking, man, someday I'm going to hear that trumpet sound, and it's not going to be Brother Jim. Someday I'm going to hear that trumpet sound, and it's going to be that trump of God. And that trumpet is something that that is significant in the Bible. And because we don't have time, we won't worry about that today. But think about it. You'll hear a voice of archangel, a trump of God. Then you think about it. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise. It says at the end of verse 15, he says, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. We should understand it's the Lord coming back. You understand that there's a shout in the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. What does that mean? When a Christian dies, his spirit is immediately taken to heaven. That's why the Bible says it's to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Many times when we're preaching at a funeral, it's saying, hey, look, they're in heaven today if they knew him. In the rapture, the soul and spirit of those who have gone before us will be united with a new and glorified body. In a moment, in a twinkling an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then you see that the Christian will be caught up. It says, for the Lord himself, in verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And that's where you get that word rapture, that caught up together. Those that are living in earth, on the earth at the time of the rapture, will join them that rose first. That Latin word for caught up is where we get the word rapture from. And then what will happen after that? It says we'll meet the Lord in the air. And it says shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, as I said, the second coming of Christ happens in two phases. At the second coming, the final, he will return to the earth. And he will rule and he will reign. But here he's speaking about when he calls his church home, and we will meet him in the air. And this next words are very exciting. And he says, and so shall we ever, you hear that? You see that? Ever, ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So how can we get discouraged about these few years here in this world? How can we let the things of this world beat us down so much where we become despondent to what the Bible is teaching us and telling us? How do we act? How do we have a biblical worldview of his certain return? He says we're ever going to be with him. We will instantly be in the presence of Jesus. And then for all eternity, we'll be with him. Now, some mock the rapture. Some ignore it. Others misunderstand it. But if those who are faithful to God are listening for that trumpet, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be encouraged by that. First thing I want you to think about, we should have knowledge. Second thing is, we should be encouraging. I know with this group of believers, it's easy. Hey, the Lord's coming back someday. This is going to be good. Yes, we see the things that are happening. The Bible is unfolding in front of us. And yes, the prophecies of the future. Yes, this is wonderful. But we shouldn't just be encouraging to one another. We should be encouraging to those that are out there. Think about what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. You look here what it says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is something that we do. And I've heard people say, when we talk about the things of this world, we talk about where our country's heading, and talk about the discouraging things that are happening. And the encouraging word is, hey, we're not going to be here forever. Hey, the Lord is in control. Hey, the Lord is the one that's on the throne. Hey, the Lord is returning. That is how we encourage one another. Just as Jesus encouraged them at John chapter 14, he said, let not thy heart be troubled. We should learn to say, hey, look, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be troubled because he's going to come back. Yes, we live today and we live for the Lord. And yes, we make a stand. And yes, we're disappointed by the things that are happening in the world. But nothing that happens in America, nothing that happens in our elections, nothing that happens with COVID will change the fact that God is on the throne. And because he is on the throne, he has promised us he is going to return. So how should we live in these days? We should learn how to comfort. We should have knowledge first, and then we should take that knowledge and comfort others. This could happen at any moment. It could happen at any time. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord. When the trump of God calls believers to meet the Lord in the air, we're going to leave behind every sorrow, every pain, every loss. Not only that, we're going to be reunited with those that have gone on before us to heaven. Best of all, we're going to be with Christ face to face. Christians, even in the first century, we might say, hey, this was foolish. How could they not have seen 2,000 years ago? But 2,000 years ago, they were there and they were thinking, hey, he could come back at any moment. He could come back at any time. They were looking for his coming. While when Christ didn't immediately return, some began to scoff, some began to question. But remember what the scripture says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us for it, and not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's only because of God's grace, as we heard sung about earlier, he is giving a greater opportunity to hear and believe the gospel before he ever returns. You think about it, you say, well, why is it taking so long? And sometimes, even back in Bible times, people will scoff, well, where is this coming? And the response is, look, he's not slack concerning his promises. He's going to return, but he's being patient. He's being long-suffering. He's saying that he is wishing and desiring that more would be saved, usward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Maybe he hasn't returned because he's waiting for you to turn to him. Now, think about it. Sometimes people talk about, man, I wish Christ would come today. And I get what they're saying. And I think that's biblical. We're looking for that blessed hope. But there is a lost world out there. Sometimes I say to them, I says, I agree, it'd be great if he came back today. But I'm thankful for those that are lost. We still have another day. We have another day to share and encourage. We have another day to tell someone else Christ is returning. We have another day to tell somebody else, make sure you're prepared. And it's easy to say that, but do I live that way? If I really think he could come back today, do I really live in a way that's telling other people and that I'm sharing other people? I'm not just talking about encouraging one another, which this passage is specifically saying, comfort one another with these words. And in verse number 13, he says, I would not have you be ignorant, brother. And he says, to sorrow as those which have no hope. But we cannot forget that as we're encouraging one another, that these words can be an encouragement to someone else as we're trying to win them to Christ. There is a world out there that has no hope. There is a world out there that is suffering through the things of today, and they're living blindlessly saying, why are all these things happening? I can't understand why these things are happening. And they're discouraged, and they're overwhelmed, and they are in critical shape. You say, you mean they're in a hospital? No, they're in critical shape because they don't know Christ. They've never put their faith and trust in him. At the end of the church age, everything changes. And there's going to be those who have heard the gospel. And I believe that the Bible says about a strong delusion that they'll never be able to turn to Christ during that tribulation period. So not only should we be knowledgeable, not only should we be encouraging, we should also be prepared. What do you mean by prepared? We should be prepared to meet him. I mean, we should be ready. Are you sure if he will return today? Are you part of the body of Christ? Look what it says here in verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not just Paul saying, hey, this is me, a preacher saying it, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And look at that next phrase. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, what is that saying? The dead in Christ. It's saying those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. And then verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep, God will bring with him. There is a certain group of people that he's returning for, and that is those who have put their faith and trust in him. Have you ever done that? Are you prepared for the day that he's going to return? Are you prepared for the moment that he comes back? And that once again, I believe that once a person who has heard the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel, and knows that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, and they reject that, the Bible says their fate is sealed during the Great Tribulation. And we encourage people by singing songs that we love. When we see Christ, what a day that will be. When the roll is caught up yonder, we shall behold him. All those different songs, the midnight cry, coming again, all those great songs mean nothing for those that have no hope. And this morning, if you're here today and not sure of your eternal home, not sure when he returns that he will take you home with him because you're not in Christ, you can know that today. And you can also forever be with the Lord. 1 John 3:3 also puts an interesting thought. And every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. So the first thing is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you on your way to heaven? I know most people across this room say, yes, I'm on my way to heaven. But are you ready to meet him? I think about what it says in 1 John 2:28. And now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I think what the scripture is saying is, are you going to be prepared for the day he returns? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be doing something wrong when he returns. I don't. I know we've been, people have surprised us, and sometimes when people surprise you, you're not prepared for somebody, you can be a little discouraged. Like if somebody comes and knocks on your door and the house is a mess, and that's when you're taking those dirty pots and pans, you're pushing them in the stove so no one can see them. You know, you're discouraged, you're ashamed of the way the house looks, and you want to make sure the house looks better. That's why you say, hey, hold on for a minute. You hear a bunch of rumbling around and people yelling, hey, go get this, go get that. It's because you would be ashamed for someone to see your house like that. Now, my house is never that way. My house is always clean. Well, yes, my wife's in the back. It's always clean. So she does a good job, and we help some too, obviously. But at the same time, you know, I've been in places where they've been surprised that the pastor stopped by, or they've been discouraged because of the fact that somebody dropped by unannounced and their house was a mess. It doesn't bother me. I could tell you some stories of people's houses and garages I've been in that would cause your stomach to turn. But as a preacher, I don't care. It's not me you have to worry about. It's sort of like that guy that's smoking a cigarette and they see the preacher coming out and he kind of puts it down, puts it to the side, or, you know, stamps it out and says, and he gets rid of it because he sees me. And I tell him, hey, don't worry about me. I'm thankful for the respect they show for a position of a pastor. Worry about the Lord. God sees you do it every time you light up. God sees it every time that you take the drink. God hears you every time you curse. Don't worry about a preacher. Worry about the Lord. He's going to return someday, and he's the one we should live before. We consciously live in his presence. And if we would learn to remember that, we should be prepared. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? Purifieth himself. What does that mean? He knows he's coming, and since he knows he's coming, he's keeping things right. He's keeping things clean. He's keeping things pure. He's not looking at Christ's return saying, oh, he's going to come back someday. I get to go to heaven anyway. I'm going to live whatever way I want. I'm going to dress whatever way I want. I'm going to listen to whatever I want. God doesn't really care. I get to be with him forever. That's not what's presented in the Bible. That might be presented at churches down the street and liberal churches today that says, you know, hey, God does love you, but he hates sin. And he hates people's what sin does to people. And that's when he says, if you have this hope in you, purify yourself. Why? Because even as he is, pure. So I began thinking this week as I was working on my sermon. I've been talking about the rapture for a little while. And the Lord gets brought to my heart. Yeah, you're thankful for all these things. But think about one of the things you're greatest, most thankful for. Is that Christ is going to come back. Man, I want to encourage you with that today. When you leave this world, when you leave this church building, the world's going to beat you up. We've been doing the One Another series in some different places. The teen's been learning about it on Wednesday night. Mr. Bateman's been teaching some of it in here. We've been doing it in my young adult class. And it is amazing some of the things that the Bible says how we're supposed to treat one another. Out there in the world, they're going to treat you like they don't even know you. They're going to do what Satan's going to use the world to tear you up. But the problem is when Satan gets inside the church house amongst a bunch of church members, and they tear you up too. The Bible talks about being compassionate one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, being members one of another, ministering to one another. There is a long list of one another's in the Bible. And that's how we're supposed to treat each other. And one of those lessons, we haven't gotten to it in my class yet, because I bounce around on mine, comfort one another. We should be a source of comfort for each other. Not comforting someone's sin, because that's not helping them. But a comfort to say, you know what? This is not the end. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. Right? And that's how we can encourage one another. He's promised us. He's going to return. He is going to come again. He is going to come back for his church. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for that day? You've heard at least some of the gospel intertwined inside of this. Have you heard the gospel before that he died and he buried and rose again to pay your sin debt for you? because if you heard that and rejected that, according to what I believe the scripture says, there's a strong delusion that you'll never believe in him once the great tribulation begins. I want to encourage you today, make sure you're prepared. And for the believers in the room, would you like him to find you the way you are today? I know that being prepared for the great white throne judgment is not something we have to worry about. But someday we will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And I know some people think about that, oh, that's just going to be a party. Everybody's going to get a reward. No, I don't want to be ashamed of his appearing. I don't want to be ashamed of that day because I could have done more and I didn't. Let's make sure we're ready and prepared. So the first thing is, how do you have a biblical worldview during these crazy times that Christ could come back in any minute? Number one, be knowledgeable. Understand what the scriptures say. Understand what this passage is talking about. Secondly, be encouraging. Encourage the believers. Hey, this is not our world. We're just passing through. Yes, we're going to do the best while we're here. But you know what? We're not living for here. We're living for him. Encourage those who are unbelievers and say, there is more to live for than this world. The God I believe, the God of the Bible, because many people say, I believe what's written in the Bible. That's why we've got to be knowledgeable, because they don't even know the Bible. Many people don't even know when they talk about the second coming that they think the rapture is the second coming. That's not the case. The angel said he's going to come and his feet are going to touch here in the Mount of Olives and all those different other things. There's two different phases of it. He's going to rapture his church home. Are you ready for that? We should encourage the unbeliever. Christ is going to return for his church. Are you part of it for the body of Christ? Are you part of that? And then be prepared. Don't live your life like he's never coming back. Don't live your life like he could not come back today. In the scriptures, he says, looking for that blessed hope. Paul wrote as if he could come back that day. The believers 2,000 years ago said, you know what? He could return even today. Lord, come quickly. And he will in his time and his way. Encourage one another and be prepared. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. It's easy to just spout off a bunch of things that we're thankful for and not even give it much consideration. Lord, help us to live our life like we are grateful and thankful and blessed. Lord, help us not forget this thing to be thankful for. And in this Thanksgiving season, where people many times focus on turkey and other things, it's good to just remind ourselves we have so much to be thankful for. Even, Lord, in the Lord's Supper that you commence, you want us to remember the day you died, but then also you said, until the day you come, to continue to remember that. You will return someday. And I pray that every person in this room is saved and on their way to heaven. And Lord, if there is even one, and I'm sure there's at least one, if not a few, that's not sure of their eternal destiny, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God convict their heart. And Lord, by faith, that they will learn to believe in you and accept you and receive you. And that finished work you did on that cross today. So they will be ready for the day that you call your church home. And Lord, I pray for each believer in this room that they will very seriously give consideration. Do I want Christ to find me the way I am today? I bet you many of us would turn and say, I know there's some things I need to get straight. I know there's some things I need to get right. I don't want him to come back until I'm able to. It's not about cleaning ourselves up. It's realizing who you are and, Lord, that you loved us and that you died for us. And that you are worthy of our service, and that you are worthy of our sacrifice, and God, that we should want to purify ourselves because you are pure, and that we should want to live for you. Thankful for so many things, but in this day, in these last days, the last of the last days, I am so thankful you're coming back. Help us to rejoice in that today. Help us to rejoice in that this week, and help us to have knowledge of it, and encourage one another, and make sure we're prepared for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. If you're here today and not sure that you're a Christian, Brother Joe's down front. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you strictly what the Scripture says, how you can be saved and on your way to heaven.